University Broadcast Studio.
It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Hello from occupied Brooklyn behind enemy lines. This is Radio Free America. Hope you're doing good today, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the radio show. And we are in a de facto state of martial law here in New York City. And honestly, I suspect other parts of the country are as well. If you missed the interview we did with this pastor in the last hour of the show from Illinois, where you have law enforcement threatening to arrest people who show up for church on Sunday. You've got the police that were literally taking pictures of the license plates of the school teachers of the Baptist school. There's a report out of Santa Monica that they're going to start arresting people if they violate the stay-at-home law. And just a couple of days ago, there was a guy in New Jersey who got arrested, who was thrown into the jail because he was hosting a private wedding at his home. Anybody want to ask what the hell's going on in America right now? This is nuts, folks. The country's gone slap crazy. So welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. We've got a lot going on this hour of the show, but I want to go right to the Liberty University newsmaker line. And a soon-to-be good friend of this program, his name is Jesse Kelly. He is one of the newest nationally syndicated radio hosts. All of you folks listening to us on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee, you're going to get to know him very well because he's going to be your new midday radio host. Jesse, welcome to the show.
It is an honor to be here, Todd, and I will tell you, I am stunned at what I'm seeing. I am watching a nation intentionally throw itself into a Great Depression, not a recession, a Great Depression. I am watching a nation sacrifice its civil liberties. I'm watching a nation carpet bomb the greatest economy in the history of the world, wipe out small businesses, and not by an accident, Todd. That's what's amazing to me. This is not a war. It's not an accident. It's not even some bad, you know, Democrat policy I disagree with. It is intentional. I've never seen it in my entire life, a government pointing towards its own citizens and saying, you will stay home and destroy your livelihood. I've never seen anything like this. I feel like I'm living in the Twilight Zone.
You know, one of the things I've really appreciated about your Twitter feed, you've been pointing out for quite some time now that the bigger problem is these people have no clue how a small business operates, as if we're just going to be able to go back to our little stores and reopen for business in a month or two and everything's going to be hunky-dory.
Well, that's the main problem we have, this is really, really starting to hit me how bad the gap is between the New York City, with all due respect, Washington, D.C., media, academia, intelligentsia, world, and the way the rest of the country lives. A small business does not just throw an open or closed sign on the door to decide whether or not they're open or closed. These businesses run on 5 to 10% profits. If they get a full month of business in, they stay open. If they have a slow month, they might be able to stay open. That's fine. If you intentionally drop their revenues to zero, they're gone. And they're not gone in 6 months. They're not gone in 4 months. They're not gone in 2 months most of the time. Weeks. If you drop the revenues to zero, 2 or 3 weeks, a small business is gone. Most of them never to return again. They have to lay off their employees. It is a disaster. And it's not a disaster, Todd, that's coming. I'm trying to get that point home to people. It's not coming. It's happening. It is. We had 140,000 jobless claims in 4 days in Ohio alone. Now expand that over a month, expand that to 50 states, and know that that gets worse as these businesses run out of capital and lay everybody off. We are not heading towards a recession. We are heading towards soup lines, and I can't believe that an idiot with community college credits like me can see it, and these big brain Harvard eggheads in Washington cannot.
Oh, look, I had to work with a lot of these eggheads here in New York City. I get it. These people are morons. They have absolutely no common sense, Jesse. None whatsoever. As a matter of fact, I've been on the record. I wrote this in a book once. I said the next Supreme Court justice ought to have a community college education. I mean, they can't do any worse than the Harvard crowd we already have up there.
No, they can't. Well, and that's the problem, Tom. They don't have anything in the real world. And I'm not, honestly, I understand, especially most of your listeners probably have college degrees. People were smarter than me. I realize that. I don't have the brains for a college degree. So they have a place out there. But when you move right from college into some cushy political job or journalist job, and then you spend your lifetime going back and forth, and then you're at a think tank, and soon you're standing beside the president or a mayor or a governor giving advice, you don't have any idea how most Americans live their lives, how a small business stays open. They just don't have any idea. And the fact that nobody with real-world experience is standing up right now is driving me bonkers.
You know, the president's trying, Jesse. He's trying. Mm-hmm. He knows. I think he knew from day one, which is why he wasn't trying to downplay the virus. He was trying to downplay the hysteria that was about to come. And I think he knew where all of this was going. And I'm not sure that even he can stop it.
Well, that's the problem, Todd. I agree with you. I cannot imagine the stress the guy is under when you have a bunch of doctors and advisors chirping in his ear, telling him he's going to have 2, 3, 4 million dead Americans on his hands, or he could destroy the greatest economy in the history of the world. That's a decision that no president, no human being wants to ever have to make. So I think he did what he was told to do, shut everyone down, give some guidance that way. But even he, I don't think, realized how bad it would be. I don't think the country is going to change until these unemployment numbers actually come out. I think people are going to be stunned. I think people, you can take your worst projection for unemployment numbers and double or triple it, and you'll be closer to accurate.
You know, then you've got, you know, the folks up on Capitol Hill, Jesse. I mean, this is just nuts. And keep in mind, here's what gets me. The original stimulus package, and we had Senator Marsha Blackburn on the show a couple of weeks ago talking about this. Even the Republican plan didn't offer any protection for small businesses. I mean, everybody's out of touch with the average American up there.
They are. It's the big businesses that wrote the thing, Todd. So you're going to add, at this point in time, you're going to add additional burdens to small businesses and exempt companies with over 500 employees. All you're doing with this jerkwater bill is you're shifting mass amounts of capital from small businesses to large businesses, and that is not right. That is not fair. And you know what? I know people were mad at this bill stalling in Congress. They shouldn't be as mad about what they think they're mad about. Even if the perfect bill passed, which it won't, and you injected $1 trillion in the economy, you know this for a fact. Government is not smart enough or efficient enough to inject it fast enough in the right places to have it supplement stopping a $20 trillion economy, which is what we have. The only solution is to turn this economy back on again while obviously taking as many precautions as we can to protect people from this disease.
You know, Jesse, while you and I are talking, one of our readers posted on our Facebook page, Todd, my son owns a small business in Texas. It works about 20 people. He said yesterday he could carry the payroll for a little while, but he's going to have to shut everything down. And I suspect you're hearing very similar stories on your social media pages.
I actually made a mistake yesterday. Now, I'm glad I did it, but I made a mistake. I put out on my social media page, on my Twitter page, at Jesse Kelly DC, for whoever wants to follow it, I asked for emails from people with their stories, if they lost a job, if they lost a business. And Todd, I fully admit I have no heart and no feelings and no soul. I realize I have none of that. I seriously got choked up about 10 times reading these stories last night. I was sobbing on the phone as I fired all 50 of my employees. My son lost his job. Now he's borderline suicidal. And I mean, it was hundreds of them. And that's just the people who emailed me. And that's a tiny fraction of what's happening. We are destroying this country for a virus. It's insane.
Jesse, it's unbelievable, and I'm glad you're out there raising these issues. So we're going to get you back on the show. We got to take a break. You know how it is. We got to pay the bills.
Yes, sir.
We don't get a stimulus package. the radio guys, we're hosts. Hey, and we're excited to have you on KWAM, your show, national show. Tell everybody, it launches very soon.
It does. It launches on April 6th, the Jesse Kelly Show. If you want a small sample of what you're going to get, you can go to the KPRC website in Houston. All my shows are up there. You're going to get lighthearted fun and white trash food takes like I am and history. And we're going to keep it light most of the time once we get the lights turned back on in this game.
You know, I got to tell you, I almost took a job years ago, Jesse Kelly, almost took a job at KTRH in Houston. Great town, but man, that humidity, it's a killer.
Let me tell you what, I love my Houston, but I do look forward to my trips out of Houston in the summertime.
Good. I hear you. Well, look, we're going to get you up to Memphis one of these days, and we'll head on down to Beale Street. The ribs are on me.
Oh, how you can count me in for gaining 10 pounds in a couple days.
All right, Jesse Kelly, ladies and gentlemen, great American patriot, and he gets folks fired up. You got to follow his Twitter page. It's pretty epic. But he's right. A lot of people real nervous, and we've been monitoring our page. Here's what we wrote just a little while ago. Do you know somebody who's lost their job because of the coronavirus? Are you a small business owner? Have you been forced to temporarily close? You know, have you been financially impacted by the national emergency? And many of you, almost 100, have already shared comments. Angie writes in, I'm self-employed. I own a small dance studio and a dance program to help local preschools. I'm out of work. Don't know when I'll be able to start back again. Rosemary says, I have been furloughed for at least 10 weeks from my job of 35 years at a large convention hotel in Atlanta. All our conference groups canceled overnight. This means no pay for many hotel workers for many weeks. Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And we also asked folks, if you know somebody who's hiring, let us know, because we want to share that information, too. We have folks from all over America that follow us. Nicole says, Todd, Oak Ridge, Tennessee, it's not much, but our local pizza place, Little Nicky's, is hiring right now. Little Nicky's in Oak Ridge, Tennessee. They need drivers, counter help. They've had an uptick. I bet they have. Feeding a lot of folks. And by the way, Little Nicky's is also feeding providing free lunches for the local school children there. And it goes on and on. Jennifer says, my husband works for a major airline. The very profitable airline industry has just been destroyed by the virus. He has not lost his job yet, but small airlines have gone out of business. She writes, our CEO is taking a 100% pay cut for 6 months. And there's something very similar over at Marriott, where they've had to furlough thousands of people and upper leadership not taking salaries. You know, it's all about self-sacrifice, and you do what you can do. But it's a tough deal out there. So we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear you tell your story on the radio. But if you don't want to get on the radio, you can write it there on our Facebook page. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Laura writes in. Laura says, Todd, who knows if you'll actually... you know what? My computer just froze up. Jeez, what is going on here with the computer? Ah, here we go. All right, Laura says, Todd, thank you so much for your program today. I'm greatly concerned that no one will defend me or come to my rescue if the goons attack me. Well, Laura, you know what? Laura, you don't have just me, your friendly neighborhood broadcaster, who is communicating with you via this beautiful, big, huge microphone here, but you have an entire audience of gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables who is standing alongside of you, not behind you, but side by side, Laura. So let not your heart be troubled. It's going to be okay. Trust me on this one, Laura. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Greensburg, Kentucky. Ryan, listening to us on the live stream. Hi, Ryan. What's on your mind today?
How are you doing today, Todd? Mr. Starnes. There's a lot on my mind, I guess, as with everybody else. I want to thank you for everything you do. And I've got your book, Culture Jihad. Not done with it yet, but... it seems it started out very well. It's kind of scary. It's kind of, in a way, running with some of the conspiracy, there's a lot of conspiracy theories that are running rampant right now. so, you know, and it's got people on edge. You know, I really don't know how to even what to go about talking. I just know that there's a lot of people are scared. A lot of people in our small towns are worried. I've stocked up on several things. I've not hoarded nothing, just enough to get us by. We live in the country, so we got to live on our own. Shouldn't be much of a problem, but there's going to be a lot of people out there, you know, that are probably going to, you know, hit the fan. You know, people are smart, intelligent, logical, for most part predictable, but when you get people together, they're crazy, scared, and unpredictable.
You know what? Look, Ryan, no, you're right about that, and I've realized that here in New York City. We're in the process of moving back to Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown. But I do worry about the big cities because you're right. It's going to hit the fan. I mean, when the food runs out, the food runs out. And that's when it gets ugly.
And my grandmother, my memo, she's actually been on your webpage before. She's 90 years old. And she's just going to retire this year from teaching. She's had to keep my small 4-year-old child, and which has this worry because my wife, she works in the medical field. I've been a firefighter for years and years. I mean, I used to ride my bicycle to fires when I was younger. Everybody's just kind of on ends, and police, firefighters, CNAs, nurses, janitors, city workers, water workers, teachers are delivering food around here to the kids that need it. And I mean, people are hoarding things that they don't need to hoard. You've got to keep all of your essential needs, water, EMS, fire, police, they have to be active, and they need these supplies as much as anybody. And
you know what got me, Ryan? You know what got me yesterday?
Sir.
Yesterday, during the president's press conference, they were talking about not hoarding and how businesses were, you know, sharing supplies. Facebook turned over 700,000 face masks. What does Facebook need? What are they doing with 700,000 face masks just laying around? I didn't understand that.
Well, they've got to keep their employees that they're considering essential to get out the...
Sure they do.
The false information for some parts is what I kind of feel. I don't think we're being told the whole story by no means.
You know, Ryan, I'm hearing that from a lot of people. I'm hearing that same thing, and I believe it too. I don't think we're being told the full story of what's really going on and what this thing really is. Ryan, I hate to do this, but we're going to have to let you go. We're coming up on the bottom of the hour news break. Hey, Ryan, thank you for your call. I want you to do me a favor. Give us a call back next week. Let us know how things are going. You be safe out there. You're one of the first responders, being a firefighter. So, man, God be with you and your family. And folks, we've got to be standing up and standing alongside our nurses and doctors and the folks that work in the hospitals. If you've got extra supplies, maybe you've got a few extra dollars, go out, grab some donuts, grab some food, something for those folks, whether it's down at the police station or the fire department. They're just working around the clock. They're putting their lives on the line so that all of us can be safe and so they can look after our families. That means a lot. Hey, coming up, we're going to be talking to the owner of an Amish kitchen, and they're doing something mighty nice for truck drivers around the country. We're going to tell you all about that next. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Give a big shout out to our friends over at Old Dominic Distillery in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Beautiful, beautiful space out there, and they're doing some good work. Old Dominic is normally known for their whiskey, and but now they put that on hold, and they're actually using their facilities to generate hand sanitizer, and it's not for sale. They're going to give it away free of charge for, you know, to people who might not have a lot of money, for the homeless folks, food pantries all over the Mid-South. So we just want to salute the folks over at Old Dominic Distillery. And I suspect there are a lot of other people around the country that are going the extra mile to make sure that everybody's taken care of. Interesting story, Breitbart News. Frank Gaffney is very concerned, very alarmed about federal pension fund investments in China. And I think, if nothing else, this entire crisis has raised the level of awareness that China is no friend to the United States. So I want to go to the newsmaker line, our good friend Frank Gaffney, who is chairman and founder of the Center for Security Policy. Frank, great to have you with us today. Hope you're doing well.
I am, Todd. The better for being on the show. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I really appreciate you raising awareness of what's going on with China and the web of involvement that the federal government has, and the federal pension fund especially. You say the president has to stop this $500 billion federal pension fund from investing in China.
Yeah, the good news is that this hasn't happened yet, but it is in the offing, Todd. And just to give your audience a little bit of background, Communist China, of course, is now in the forefront of a lot of people's minds for reasons beyond my efforts, though I appreciate you calling attention to them. We are all now very mindful, I think, of dangers that are emanating from China, whether it is the coronavirus, the Chinese virus, as the president rightly calls it, or whether it is the fact that we no longer produce the medicines in this country that we may need to contend with this virus, and a whole host of other supply chain problems, and what is happening in terms of the immense buildup of the Chinese military and their colonial empire, the so-called Belt and Road Initiative, and on and on. What most of us don't know about yet, though, is unfortunately our capital markets, the stock and bond markets, have been investing immense amounts of money in China that have enabled those threats. And the question that is before the House right now, literally, is will the retirement funds of U.S. federal government employees be added to those of California public employees and those of many other states around this country and other institutional investors and so on, in underwriting some of the companies in China that are doing these malevolent things, things that are threatening us or repressing the people of China, the Uyghur Muslims and Christians and others and so on. That's not something that we can tolerate. And I hope that the president of the United States, Todd, will see fit to block this idea, which has been cooking up for several years now, but is about to happen, of migrating about, as you say, $500 billion, or a significant portion thereof at least, into Chinese companies that are doing things. I mean, think about it. American military personnel's retirement funds going into companies that are building weapon systems with which to kill them? And that's obscene, honestly. It shouldn't happen.
Frank, are you surprised at, you know, and again, we've gotten to this point in American history where we are so reliant on other countries like the Chinese, for example, they were threatening to withhold supplies that we would need for medicines. And they can do that because over 80% of the ingredients in the pharmaceuticals we need are made in China.
That's correct. This is not an accident, comrade, as the Soviets used to say, Todd, as you know. This is the product of a design, a very concerted project of Communist China going back decades, basically to use predatory trade practices to move production from America and elsewhere around the world to China, whether it's medicines or flat screen displays or chips or drywall or dog food or baby formula or any number of other things, steel. We are now very substantially dependent upon Chinese supply lines. And this medicine thing is just one example that happens to touch all of our lives. And it is so obviously unacceptable, especially in the face of a pandemic, that it's got the American people riled up. The president is very focused on it as well. And concerted efforts are now being made to move that back here. So we have penicillin, we have aspirin, we have antibiotics, we have critical ingredients for other medicines, and even vitamin C, for heaven's sakes, made here in America, not in China. But one of the things that we could be doing, instead of investing in the Chinese companies that are doing these sorts of things, especially the nefarious ones, is to invest patriotically. Invest in America, invest in our infrastructure, invest in our R&D, invest in our innovation.
Why aren't they doing
that?
Our
supply chains. Well, because I think there are people in Wall Street who have got this idea that globalization is the right way to order the world, that you just go to the cheapest bidder and it doesn't matter if your national security might be at stake. And as a result, they're deeply invested in it. They've made billions and billions and billions of dollars in commissions by doing business with China, and they are determined to take more and more of our money. So by some estimates, $3 trillion is already out the door. They're seeking another $3 to $5 trillion from our capital markets, including from our Federal Thrift Savings Plan. This is intolerable, and I think in the wake of this pandemic, it isn't going to happen. But boy, we need people like your audience, Todd, to get aroused and engaged on encouraging President Trump not to do this. And by the way, there's a petition they could sign at our website. The Committee on the Present Danger China's site is called presentdangerchina.org. About 2,000 people have signed it so far. We'd love to have the support of your audience as well.
You got it. All right, Frank, we're gonna have to leave it there. Give us that web address one more time.
Sure. It's presentdangerchina.org. A wealth of information and a petition on the Thrift Savings Plan is right on the homepage.
All right. Frank, as always, a wealth of knowledge. I appreciate you coming on the show. Frank Gaffney, ladies and gentlemen, president of the Center for Security Policy. Thanks, Frank.
Bless you, Todd. Thank you.
All right. Presentdangerchina.org, folks, if you want to check out that petition that Frank was talking about. Unbelievable. I mean, it's a fair point. Why in the world are the federal, why is the federal government investing in China when they could be investing here in the United States of America? That is a legitimate question that needs to be answered. It's just unbelievable what's happening around this country, folks. Just absolutely unbelievable. All right. Before we got to take a break here, but before we do that, let's get to the phones. A lot of folks want to weigh in here. Let's go to John, listening to us in North Carolina on the great WRWH. Hi, John. Thanks for holding on. What's on your mind today?
Great to talk to you again, Todd. Todd, I don't understand why the people, American people, are so surprised in what the Democrats want to include in the bill. When you take a party that supports the murdering of millions of unborn children and support taking a child that made it through abortion and setting it on a table in a broom closet and waiting for it to die, that should tell them that they don't care about life. All they care about is control. And they don't care who it harms. They just want control. And as long as they let that evil witch from California, Nancy Pelosi, room the halls of Congress, nothing's going to change.
No, it's not going to change. And look, John, as sad as it is to say, I think you're absolutely right. They do not value life. They look at all of us as some sort of a commodity. This is all about power to these people, John. And, you know, if a bunch of us have to die, well, so be it. You know, as long as they get their funding for their Broadway show at the Kennedy Center. It's just repulsive. John, got to leave it there. We've got to take a break. Folks, coming up, we're going to be talking to the owner of an Amish kitchen. They're doing some great stuff to help out truckers across the Fruited Plain. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. And one of the things we've been doing on this radio show, we're talking about the politics of the day and what's going on around the country, but we're also talking about you. And many of you folks are in a tough spot right now. You don't know where you're going to get your next meal. You don't know how you're going to pay your rent. Others of you are actually hiring people for your businesses. So we heard about the pizza joint in New Jersey looking to hire folks. So if you go to our live show blog, toddstarnes.com, we have all sorts of great information there for you. And we want you to tell your story. Just drop us a note, or you can give us a call here on the program, 844-747-8868. And we would love to be able to hook you up maybe with a job or at least a lead on a job during these pretty difficult times. And it's especially difficult for the truck drivers out there. Man, those guys and gals, they are honest-to-goodness heroes. And they're doing a terrific job getting where we need to be and getting food into our supermarkets. But here's a big problem. A lot of those guys and gals, the truck stops shut down, can't get a good hot meal. Well, the folks over at Mary Yoder's Amish Kitchen want to do something about that. This is a terrific restaurant in Middlefield, Ohio. Dan Miller is the owner, joins us on the Newsmaker line. Dan, what an honor to have you with us today.
Good to be here with you.
All right. Look, I know you guys are busy. It's the lunch hour, so I want you to tell our listeners what you guys are doing for the good truckers out there across the country.
Basically, because truckers aren't able to get food wherever they are sometimes. Since we aren't sitting inside the restaurant, the parking lot's empty. So we have a huge parking lot here. So we just decided to have all the truckers that are local coming through there to come in and have a free hot meal on us and some good food, good Amish cooked food.
Oh, I'm looking at the website, MaryYodersAmishKitchen.com. You know, Dan, I'm from the Deep South, so we fry our chicken. But I got to tell you, that oven-fried chicken you guys have looks delicious.
Yes, it is good. We have two different kinds of chicken. We also do like a broasted style and a baked style with like different breading on it. So it's kind of a unique style.
Oh, mm-hmm. I love this. Dan, tell me how you guys came up with this idea. What propelled you guys to do this?
Having some trucking in my background, we just seen different posts on Facebook and people weren't able to get things at McDonald's or get food at McDonald's because they weren't in the car. And we just decided it'd be a good gesture to have people come and we want to bless them because it's a job that's not always easy to be out there and get things done. So we want to bless the community and bless people that are there.
I think that's a terrific thing you guys are doing. Have any truckers taken you up on the offers so far?
Yeah, we had a couple here today, this morning. A few of them showed up, and so we're just kind of getting started. So I figure over the next couple of weeks, we'll have a few more show up.
I reckon so. What was their reaction to your generosity?
Oh, they were all excited about it, and we actually got a bunch of shares on our site that we put that on. So we were really blessed, and we'll get things back going, and God bless America.
Amen. And Dan, real quick, how about the folks there at the kitchen? You guys doing well? The staff, the family?
Yes, we are. Of course, our percentage of income is quite low compared to what it usually was, but we'll make it through. We'll make it through, and everybody is in good health so far, so good, and I think we'll hang in there.
Well, you know, Dan, I hear you, and I think a lot of people are in the same boat. But here you guys are going above and beyond, helping out strangers who might be driving through town in a truck. I think the good Lord's going to honor that, and I think you guys are going to be blessed down the road.
Well, we just hope. Thank God.
Amen. All right, Dan, look, I know you're swamped. We're going to let you get back to the chicken and the whatnot there. God bless you and the great team there at Mary Yoder's Amish Kitchen.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on the air.
What a great story. That's wow. We've got we have the Facebook posting from the restaurant on our live show blog, Mary Yoder's Amish Kitchen. And Avery, that looks mighty good food they've got there.
It does look good. Avery's busy with a phone call right now. But yeah, the food does look good.
Today's lunch special, by the way, barbecued ribs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I was looking on while we were doing that interview. I was looking on their Facebook page with which we also have their Facebook page linked in the live blog as well. And you can see some of the food they've got there. And they've got just some fantastic looking chicken. Like you said, the oven fried chicken. Oh my gosh, that looks
delicious.
So good.
And they make their own bread.
Oh my.
Of course they do. They're Amish.
But that's
they
great.
Make everything from
I
scratch.
I love that. It's so good.
Roast beef on homemade bread. Wow. Chicken salad made with their own chicken. I bet they have the chickens out back. They have no idea what's coming.
But they're going to be made into some fantastic food.
That's right. Whether you like it deep fried or oven broiled or
however.
In a salad.
Yeah.
I do think that's, you know, that says a lot, though, about, you know, restaurants and diners all over America, you know, that they're, yeah, everybody's in the same economic condition. I mean, everybody's, you know, stretching the pennies. And these guys are going out there and, you know, they don't have to do this, but they want to. And you heard the guy. You could tell that he's a good Christian man just by the way he was talking. That they want to help people. They want to you know, he used to be a truck driver. He knows what that's like out there. And you know, a hot meal on the road goes a long way these days. You know that, guys?
Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does.
By the way, Avery, we should tell people. So call screener Avery, part of his other official duties, he runs our live show blog.
Oh, yeah.
So if you guys see a story, you want to drop us a note about something, be sure to do that. And we're going to get all that information, compile it every day live in real time on the live show blog. So we have some great stuff there, including we're going to play this a little bit later. I think we're going to do this in the next hour. We have an amazing a cappella song that I think we're going to end the show with because it's just incredibly moving, and it's performed by a bunch of students from Briarcrest Christian School, which is over, I believe, in Germantown, Collierville, Tennessee, West Tennessee. Incredible kids singing a beautiful old hymn. I think kind of put things in perspective for us, as crazy as it's going to get. By the way, President Trump just a few moments ago said that he hopes everybody is back to work by Easter. That's April 12th, I believe. So we got a couple of more weeks to go, but I think we're going to get through all of this. But we've got to hold our elected leaders up in Washington, D.C. accountable. I mean, this is nuts. $300 million for PBS? Come on. With that much money, I'd deep fry Big Bird and eat him. All right, got to take a break here. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.